Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbors yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you shall live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Roughly 100 years after Elijah, Amos comes to the northern kingdom and begins prophesying. It's 750 BC, and what's unique about Amos is for the first time a book of the prophet's prophecies are compiled. So that's probably indicative of what's going on in terms of Israel's writing. Amos is prophesying in the north. He's from the south. He's from Judah. His focus is on social and political ills in that society, because ironically, that society was doing really well. It was like the heyday of Israel. But what the prophet tells them is that God is roaring out of Zion. And the word God is roaring is that this prosperous, financially well-off nation should be preparing itself to go into exile. God does not measure the success of a government the way we do. God does not measure the way we do. Now, God had already condemned the pagan kingdoms which encircle Israel. That's the first thing Amos does, and it's literally like targeting in. It gets closer and closer, and they are nailed because of their violence and because of what they're doing to one another, not loving their neighbor, to bring it into the context of the gospel. Then the 7th oracle is against Judah, which has failed to keep God's Torah and is walking away. So that's the religious component. Lastly, he focuses in on Israel. And that's what the rest of the book's about. That's chapter 1. Well, now we're in chapter 7. And we have this little exchange here. So obviously, in those days, when people were living well, they didn't want a preacher to tell them that they were selfish and that they should be more worried about other people than having more stuff. Can you imagine? It was not a word that was received easily. Amos is then confronted by Amaziah, who's the high priest. And you heard the exchange. I've heard on more than one occasion in the last 20 years that I kind of preach hard to people. I'm kind of hard on you, all right? Some of you are grinning because you have said that. Do you ever remember a time I ever told anybody here, your wife's going to be a whore, your kids are going to die? Amos is kind of getting a little personal there, and it's coming in heavy. So I've always kind of thought, of the exchange in terms of two individuals. I'm trying to think of either saying that to a man, to his face, or having someone say that to me, to my face, and what was going on there. But it struck me as I was kind of going over this, it really isn't, he's not being personal. What he's doing is personalizing what's going to happen to everyone. Because they're all on the bus together. When the invasion, when the Syrians come in, they're not going to say, we'll leave the high priest and his wife alone. What he's saying is, what's going to happen, basically what's going to happen to everyone is going to affect you. Because the sins of each one of you is affecting all of us. So one of the issues we have to deal with is, it doesn't matter what we think is right and wrong. Our country and our church are not going to change based on what we think. And there's probably not a lot we can do about it. Amos brought them God's word. And you know what happened? Nothing. They went into exile. And that's why in the story today there's a good Samaritan. Because that was all that was left of the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, one of the things that struck me in reading this is, you know, I like to look up the words, and the word shamem. Shamem means desolate. Amos said to them, the Lord is going to make your high places desolate, and your sanctuaries are going to be laid waste, and you're going to suffer by the sword. When I looked up the word shamem, I saw it doesn't occur a lot throughout the Bible, but it occurs like 6 times in Leviticus chapter 26. So I went and read it. Which leads me to wonder if when Amos says he heard the word of God, if part of what he heard wasn't just he read Leviticus chapter 26. Because the preaching of Amos, this would be a heck of a Bible study. I could, if you gave me an hour, I could really do some wonders with it. So the whole book of Amos overlaps chapter 26, and there's little verses which are almost verbatim what Amos is saying. And fundamentally, what Leviticus chapter 26 says is, God promises his people abundance and blessings and food and protection and all good things if they remain in relationship with him. Because God will be in their midst as the God who protects them. And then, as is often the case, the rest of the chapter talks about what happens if you don't do that. Desolation. 6 times. Wipes out everything. Now, why is this the case? It's the case because God cares about this life and this world. Now, since Christianity has kind of replaced Judaism, we have created this covenant of the lie. And you know what the lie is? Heaven. We're not earthly minded. We care about heaven. We want to go to heaven. We're not tied up in the world, right? We say that all the time. Jews are worried about this world. We're worried about heaven. So here's my question. Why do you complain when there's a traffic jam? Because you don't care about this life. You should be dancing, good, we're not moving, I can pray, I can read my Bible, I'm just hearing a traffic jam. My guess is all of you have one suit of clothing at home. Because we don't care about this world. We just live in our little hovel, because we don't care about this world. We just eat rice, because we don't care about this world. You understand what I'm saying? We care about this world. But we think God doesn't, so we're embarrassed. Let me tell you, God cares about this world. In all the blessings you have, he wants to provide you blessings. And he did. And in many cases, because you made him the center of your life. And you did what he told you to do. You loved him. You loved other people. You did the right thing. And guess what happens when you love God, love other people, and do the right thing? Generally, societies prosper. And that's the way he wants it. But unfortunately, in prosperity, and he warns us all throughout the Torah and the prophets, we take our eyes off the road. And we start thinking about the stuff is more important than him. And then the lie comes in where what we really care about is heaven anyhow, and we may be losing everything in the deal. So the problems in our society right now, what's happening in our society, the end of America, if you will, is in part what Amos would have warned us about 20, 30 years ago. The demise of the church in the West, in general, and the Episcopal Church in particular, the collapse. They're on convention this weekend. I'm not talking about because I don't know what they're doing, but it can't be good. It can't be good. 20 years, when I went to that convention, they said, we're going to have the vision to double the church in 20 years. And they had all this stuff come out that they're going to do. We are going to double the church in 20 years. Well, we've halved the church in 20 years. Now, because people are math illiterate, some of them may be celebrating because they don't know. But we are under 500,000, and that's before COVID. Amos told the church, Amos told our nation, God's plan, or Leviticus 26 told us, God's way for how we live, our way, life and death. Then Jesus illustrates it. You'll notice in the parable that the priest and the Levite cross the road. They don't want to get unclean. They're worried about being unclean. The Samaritan is not supposed to be in the story. It's supposed to be a layman. Because Jewish people didn't like their ministers any more than you like us. So the layman's supposed to go take care of it because we can see we're better than those priests. But it's not supposed to be a Samaritan. And Jesus' point is, and that we just sang that lovely song. Some of our little kids are all grown up. Now, I remember them little kids singing that song. And it's a real simple song, but it's point on. Jesus doesn't care what they look like. He doesn't care what color they are. He doesn't care what religion they are. He doesn't care what their politics are. He doesn't care about any of that. He says, take care of them. Because if you live in a society where everybody takes care of one another, regardless of what color shirt they're wearing, what team they like, who they vote for, if everyone takes care of each other, then the world's going to be the way God wants it to be. And here's the good news. Because we're not going to do that, we're all going to suffer and die, but he's going to redeem it. So your commitment to him may not make the world the way he wants it to be, but it will connect you to his people so that when he makes the world the way he wants it to be, you're part of it. So every day recommit. Listen to the law. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the prophets. Listen to what they tell you and live what they say, and it's all going to be all right. It's all going to be all right. But probably not tomorrow. So be patient. It's going to be a struggle. Be patient. But it's going to be all right.